Just let it ride. Just let it ride. It's a good day in America. Let's just start smashing skateboards. I love it. I don't know why I keep coming back to it. It's all skateboard music to me. It's all skateboard music. Welcome to an all-new Loftus Party podcast. Lots going on. We've got interviews. We've got news. We've got politics. We've got some pop culture jammerinos. We got good news just abounding left and right. Good news just drops at our feet like manna from the heavens, like Krispy Kreme donuts on Jews in the desert. It's a weird day for me. I got up very early this morning, was on Fox and Friends. It was fantastic. It was fun. I found out some secrets about the Fox Studios in L.A. that I might share with you. I might not. I need to know. I can trust you. We've got the gypsy queen coming in live, located somewhere in Georgia. How's it going?
It's going well, but I'm very interested because I thought the Fox Studios in L.A. was like a box with no video that you had to have a secret handshake to get into.
Yes. Yes. Then some recent events, there's other places you go in and you're like, oh, this is it. And then there's a whole nother level. It's like,
really?
It's like Willy Wonka all up in that. I was doing some promotion for the Deplorable show. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that a little bit. That is going exceedingly well. That is going exceedingly well. I'm super pleased about that whole thing. We've got Leslie Dowd, and I'll tell you, she's on the show today, and you guys are like, oh, well, who's Leslie Dowd? If you're on Twitter, her Twitter handle is L.A. Dowd. Now, here's what I'm doing. I want to do a series of interviews. I might have mentioned this last week, so forgive me if I'm beating a live horse to death here. I want to have Leslie on. She's going to be contributing. She has a very interesting idea. We discuss it during the interview, so I'm not going to blow my load talking about that right now. I'm going to have Paul Hare on. Paul Hare contributes a lot. He's got a book I want to talk about, Appalling Stories. I think he's on Appalling Stories 2. So I really want to help this guy move some books. I want to talk about what inspires him and all of that good stuff. I want to talk with Lisa K. Tate, I believe. She posts some wonderful stuff on Twitter. She's a great follow. She put some wonderful stuff on the website, theloftusparty.com. I want to talk to her. I would want to talk to the gypsy. I would want to talk to you, but you don't post on the website anymore.
I'm yeah. here every Sunday.
Yeah, but that's not putting up like additional content. You can't do one a week, and yeah, it hurts. It hurts. But we're gonna move on. And yeah, Gypsy Pirate. And then
bitter party of one, your table's waiting. Bitter party of one.
Well, Rick, you just you're not gonna get interviewed either. Listen, it's all good. It's all good. And I'm oh my gosh. Gloria Haney is keeping up. She did like this quesadilla, like this pizza quesadilla recipe that's getting a lot of play on Facebook.
Really?
I love it. She had this great idea of like, because we were complaining about the preambles to recipes. So she's right. Been posting those. You guys, it's open. It's a wide open website. I explained it to someone the other day. Who was I? I was talking to my friend Irina. And I was trying to describe the website to her, and she's like, wow, that's really weird. That's really interesting. And I'm like, yeah. And the more I think about it, because it is, there's content that's posted by people who regularly contribute, and then it's wide open for people who enjoy just whatever. It's wide open. So that's all good. Okay, so there's a lot to get to. There's a lot of news. Maybe I'll save. I'll just give you the quick 2-minute drill on the Deplorable show. So we were in Brea, California, at the Improv down there on Wednesday night. I want to say so the Deplorable Choir. Those girls are in from Texas. We did a complete like a day of rehearsals because this isn't just This isn't like your typical like nightclub, you know, boom, 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 comedian. We got these videos that we had done that are like the roll into election night and show its hilarious look at the media and their meltdown after Trump was elected and the whole Bertha, you know, when we got the clip of Hillary going, you can put all Trump's voters in a basket of deplorables. So it's a kind of like a little shout out to where we got the name and how we embraced it and all that good stuff. So the Deplorable Choir, these girls from Texas, they're working with Brian Hainer. Now he's doing stuff with them, and then he does his own thing later on in the show that I am telling you right now, Rick and Gypsy, when we come out there, we're going to have a trailer for this thing. We shot a bunch of video on Wednesday night, sold out show, standing room only. I'm exceedingly happy. The merch is cool as hell. It looks really cool. The show's fantastic, and it's just going to get better. But when you see, and I don't know how much we should really show, but Brian Hainer does this thing. He's such a great guitarist. He does it, just it literally has people on their feet. The close of this show is so strong, and Steve McGrew, and I want to have Steve on the podcast, and Terrence Williams, I want to have him on the podcast. We got to talk about this stuff, but it's a really good show. It's really interesting because the guy who is one of the producers on it has produced another huge show that ended up going to Broadway, and then one of the other producers has done a bunch of really big arena shows and stuff. But it's what I come from, a stand-up comedy background, and it's weird when people go, no, it's going to be more like a show. It's going to be a show. It's going to be bigger. And then you kind of steer into that curve, and you're like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Let's make it bigger. Let's make it. And then you look back, and I was kind of, I don't want to pat everyone on the back, but job well done, Deplorable show. Job well done. It was really cool. The lights go down, the video comes up, people are on stage, they do this, lights go down, a video package. Literally, when we go out in February, and I should have these dates in front of me, I'm a moron. Go to deplorableshow.com and you'll see all the tour dates. But this thing is just going to get bigger and bigger. And when we go to Nashville, there's some special guests that are going to be showing up. New York, there's going to be special guests. This could... I'm very excited about it. Wednesday was a trip, and it was good, and I really, really, really dug it. So that's the good news from there.
You now, sing with the girls?
It's crazy. I have a thing that I want to do, because I had some songs that I was noodling around with months ago, and this Brian. Yeah, right. I might whip out the old ukulele, but Brian is just so incredibly talented. He's just so incredibly talented, and he can make garbage sound wonderful, and he can make great stuff sound amazing. So yeah, I just the show can only be so long, but I totally. Have you ever heard of it's not hip hop, it's hick hop. It's like this new thing in country music where you'll have like a.
I've never heard of it.
Oh yeah, there's this guy Colt Ford who is really cool. Wow. It's like. Yeah, yeah. So
it's concerts, yeah.
Yeah, we're thinking about doing some stuff like that. I mean, there's so many great ideas. And then when you see because we started this thing, we did the test runs in Houston and Dallas, and that was just a stand-up show, and the girls sang and whatever. So it was it was at that level. And then we hit this next level at Brea, and then it's going to hit another level and just keep getting bigger. So... it's fantastic. And the pushback is already happening. There was an op-ed written about the show, I think in either the Portland newspaper or the Tacoma newspaper, saying the Deplorable show is coming. And where I have to welcome them, because I'm a fan of free speech, I really hope they face an empty house. People are actively, publicly rooting for this thing to fail. And I don't want to get you know, it's not about ego or anything, but I really think that it would behoove everyone to get tickets and try to help out as much as we can. I think we could send a very strong message. We could send a very strong message that people who don't like what the left is doing and don't like what big media is doing, that that we need to be heard too. We could actually send a little message to the higher ups. So that's what's going on there.
You guys filled a theater in Brea, California.
Yeah, it was like 600 seats.
Not too worried about Portland. Not too worried about a lot of places, because I've seen other people go there and speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
At various places in California, and the places fill up. California likes to think they don't have any rebels. They have quite a few.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was amazed at, like, we did a bunch of press. I was on the Dennis Prager program on Tuesday. We did Prager U, but like just being on Dennis Prager for like one break, like one 10-minute break, we sold like 200 tickets in Portland.
Wow.
It was great.
I like Dennis too. Was it actually Dennis's show?
Yes. Yeah. He's much taller than I thought. I always heard he was a bigger man, but he's not freakishly tall, but he's a big guy. Very, very good dude.
He always just seems so nice.
He is.
Yeah.
He's like your kindly uncle who you want to listen to because he's going to explain stuff. This is not, okay. So that's the update from there. There's a lot of good stuff. And as always, thanks for, you know, telling your friends and encouraging people, and go to thedeplorableshow.com and that'll have the tour dates and tickets. We got to jump into some news, some big real moves. My number one thing, I got my little notebook in front of me. My number one thing is Trump ending the shutdown. He ended the shutdown. There's a lot of opinions about this from inside, you know, anybody on the right. I know Ann Coulter is very upset, and other people are very upset. However, I think I might have a little bit of a different take on it. There might be some optimism on my behalf. But what are your thoughts? I think you're on the side of this was a giant waste of time. Yeah.
Well, I think it's a lost opportunity, is what it is. You know, I was watching Allison Camerota on CNN. There's a clip of her out there saying, some of the Democrat caucus, especially some of these new Democrats that come from more conservative districts, are very upset with the party because the message that Democrats don't care about the border is getting out there. Yeah, it is. And we should have kept it. We should have kept letting it get out there. I mean,
Bill. I think it still is, though. I think it still is. I think
it's all going to go behind closed doors. You're going to have the Democrats line and the Democrats narrative, which you know that the mainstream media is just going to glean onto, and you're going to have the White House's narrative, and they're not going to match. And Trump's proposal, when he sat and he talked to the nation for when he gave his, what do you call it, his proposal.
His eight-minute speech.
No, the one where he added DACA and the other temporary people that are here and giving them when he gave his deal, basically. He could not have sounded more reasonable. If you listen to what he actually said, I'm putting money here. I'm putting money to end the humanitarian crisis. I'm adding immigration judges so we can take care of a backlog of 900,000 cases. And I want 230 miles of wall that Customs and Border Control Patrol says they need. Everything about his proposal was what DHS and Customs and Border asked for. How does Nancy Pelosi then come out and say, well, I'm not going to give them what they want to do their job because what do they know about doing their job? I mean, that's basically what she was saying.
Well, here's...
If you let it go just a little while longer, some of those 18 folks that Bill Cassidy identified who were basically agreeing with Trump towards the end, Democrats, would have flipped. The caucus was starting to flip. Another couple votes, and I think you could have gotten it. I really do.
I don't know. Here was my concern, and this is where it was the whole shutdown thing. I think it was very wise. I think it was very wise. It was almost like a political rope-a-dope. It is now about one issue. Nancy and Chuck and all the Democrats, they kept coming back with this thing, you know, you can't hold the American people hostage. You can't hold the American people hostage. And ironically, it was, I would argue that the Democrats that were holding the American people hostage.
Oh, absolutely.
And we refuse to negotiate. We refuse to negotiate until he opens up the government. We refuse to negotiate. So I think it was very smart that Trump will now look like the bigger man. He will look like the bigger man. And this continuing resolution, this is only 3 weeks. This is only 3 weeks. It was like they had a game of chicken, unfortunately. And I tell you what, if I was an employee and I wasn't getting paid, I would be getting pissed. I would after 30 days, I'd start getting pissed. So I think you can really, and it's not even like that much of a spin. Like, I think realistically, Trump was like, you know what? Let's just clean this all up. Let's just make this a very, very clean issue. Get those people paid. End the shutdown. I'll give you 3 weeks. You got 3 weeks. And Nancy and Chuck, now everyone knows they've been pro border barrier in the past, and they talk a lot of garbage. They talk a lot of garbage. But now it is tick tock on the clock. And the other wonderful thing is, and this is what I did my one of my YouTube videos on the other day, is the whole State of the Union address. My knee-jerk reaction with that was like, well, give the address anyway. Give it, just go to an airplane hangar in El Paso. Go to a Dairy Queen parking lot. But if he does that, you don't have Nancy sitting right behind him. So now, if everything lines up right, Donald Trump is the hero. Who's like, you know what? The American people are so important. I'm going to make sure these guys get paid. We have 3 weeks to get this figured out. And if it lines up right, he does the State of the Union in Congress. Nancy has to sit right there, and he can turn and he can look that old bag in the face, and just you can he can just have it out with her right there. He can just lay it out. It would be beautiful. I think it's the Democrats better wake up, because it is working. The conservative message is working. That, like, who do you care about?
The conservative Democrats are getting nervous. I mean, they just won in all these purple districts with suburban security moms, right? Who are looking at the Democrats going, hello, hello.
I mean,
a lot of those districts, they really shouldn't have won. And I don't know if y'all remember, but they kind of gave Joe Manchin permission to vote for Kavanaugh because they knew he had to maintain his seat, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They ought to be giving some of these Democrats permission to vote the way their constituents would like them to vote, if for no other reason than to maintain electoral gains, and they don't even seem willing to do that. It's insane.
It's wonderful how, and I don't think Trump is like a super genius or whatever. However, I do admire this, that he has made this all about one issue. It's all about one issue. Do you want to protect our borders or not? And if you say you don't, then you are putting the lives of Americans at risk. You're doing it knowingly. Just the overdose deaths alone. I don't know how you come back from that. It takes you. Optically, it's really bad for the Democrats. It's really bad. It's a no brainer.
They obviously don't care about these migrants either, with the rates of sexual and physical abuse that those women and children suffer. Part of Trump's plan was to give them the ability to apply for asylum at home so they don't have to make that trip, and they're not paying coyotes and members of the cartel to help them make the trip.
Like, I saw the most horrific thing on MSNBC, on Brian Williams' show. So I guess Trump was talking, and I don't know where he was speaking, but he's like, Trump's like, you know, you have these coyotes that bring these people across, and there's women with duct tape across their mouth so they don't make a noise, and the coyotes bring them across the desert in these vehicles, and they don't have water. So Brian Williams and all the other members of the media, they can't find this event. They're looking for the specific event. They're like, we find no record of a vehicle with girls with duct. We don't know what he's talking about. Is Trump making this up? And it's like, wow. You think he's talking about a specific event, and that's what drives me crazy. And like, they all jumped on it. Like, okay, so you're telling me that there's no coyotes bringing women and children across. You're telling me it's all hunky dory. It's all good. This never, like, nothing like this ever happens.
A lot of the numbers he was talking about were reported in the Huffington Post and came from non-governmental organizations that sit on the left and are pro-immigrant.
Yeah. It's
oh my God.
The left has a big problem. I didn't like it either. Like the ego side of me is like, don't let them get away with this. Don't let them gay. But however, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It is now. They have 3 weeks. And boy, I don't like the idea about, you know, declaring a state of an emergency to build a border barrier. I don't like that at all. I don't like the precedent that sets. So. But boy, oh boy, the State of the Union. Let's see if Nancy has the guts to put that back on the books.
I was going
to
say, she hasn't put it back on yet. I don't think she's going to do it before this negotiation period is done.
We will see.
Based on some audio I heard, I don't think she has any intention to, because somebody asked her about the State of the Union when she found out Trump was coming back to the table, and she says, I've agreed to nothing yet.
Man, she is so mean.
He needs to keep doing those short hits from the White House, from the desk in the Oval Office. Very controlled, very contained, very fact-based, and appealing to our better natures when we're talking about a comprehensive solution, technologies to better detect drugs coming across the border, resources and judges in the immigration system to get these people processed quicker and make the process the way it's supposed to be. What else? $800 million for humanitarian needs. You know, I honestly believe if this had been his position before the midterms and the Democrats were trying to fight the position he put forth in his most recent proposals, we might not have lost the House.
Yeah.
I think the messaging he's doing is that good, and I just want him to keep it up.
It's fantastic, and I'm looking for the tweet here. It's one of those things like, one of those while no one was looking, I think Trump just got like 50 more federal judges in.
Oh yeah, like he forth 51 at once. So it's like, here you go, Mitch, get him through. Here you go, Mitch, get him through. Now it's all up to Mitchie. It's all up to Mitchie. You go, Mitch.
It's fantastic. Okay, so those are that's a little thoughts on the State of the Union and the shutdown. When we come back, I want to talk about Roger Stone, and I want to talk about Kristen Sinema and the presidential candidates. Right now, I want to take a little break and go to a little interview with Leslie Dowd. You can find her at L.A. Dowd on Twitter. Leslie's going to be doing some stuff at theloftistparty.com. So here is, a week late, my interview with Leslie Dowd, part of our Loftist Party contributor series. That was very cool. Very, very cool of me to say. This is fantastic. This is great. Oh, this is our second attempt at this interview. Here's the thing, you guys. We've got Leslie Dowd joining us today. Now, a lot of you probably already follow her on Twitter, yada, 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 but here's the deal. I'm going to do a series of interviews with the biggest contributors to theloftistparty.com. You can all contribute. However, Leslie's going to be contributing. I want to talk to Paul Hare about his book. He's got a new book out. We got to talk about that. I want to talk to Lisa Tate. So here we go. This is our second attempt at an interview with Leslie Dowd. She is a smart, whip-cracking, funny, good time Twitter follow. You gotta follow her on Twitter. She's got awesome taste in comedians. We're both big Cat Williams fans. She's highly opinionated. She knows how to have fun. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Back again. Thank you.
Back again and ready for more. I apologize for our snafu last week, but this might actually work out better. This might actually work out better. So you had an idea, and I have no idea what this is, but like yesterday you sent me a DM on Twitter and you're like, hey, I got an idea for something that I'm thinking about doing. Let's talk about it. So now, no pressure, we're going to have this conversation on the show. What are you thinking about doing?
Oh, okay.
And the other thing I want to ask, it's a two-part question. What do you think, what are you thinking about doing? And then the second part is, what do you think is the biggest problem with right-leaning websites? Boom, I did a twofer. So let's go.
Oh, I didn't know I was going to be in a quiz today.
Yes.
My idea, it's something that I've been wanting to put together for the past couple of years, and I just never sat down to try to make it come to fruition. So, and I wanted to ask you if maybe there's a place on the Loftus Party website for this. And I have to say, Prager University kind of stole my thunder on it a little bit, but I think there's some value in doing short audio pieces, maybe 2 minutes or so, that are just conveying messages about conservatism, or more specifically about U.S. history, or maybe even world history, some lesser known things in history that I know when I started learning about them, it really made me more motivated to be more active in politics and more active in conservatism, because okay. there's a lot of information out there that really, when you understand it, it's kind of hard to reconcile it with leftist ideologies.
So this would be short form audio stuff?
Yes. Yep.
Would there be any kind of visual at all, or just like how would it work? So I go to the website and I see that there's a new thing from Leslie, and what would it be? Like give me you don't have to like perform the whole thing, but what would be like the subject matter of one of these suckers?
Well, I think a good example of it is that there are a lot of people who don't understand the Three-Fifths Compromise.
You know what? I know hosts of podcasts that have never even heard of the Three-Fifths Compromise. I have literally no idea what you're talking about. So this is great. I'm going to find something out.
in the Constitution, where slaves, the debate between the Northern and the Southern states regarding slaves being counted as persons or not persons. And, you know, it's a big meme on the left to point to that as racism, point to that as an example of racism, an example of institutional racism, where really, if you look into the literature about it, it in fact was somewhat the opposite. It was the slaveholding states wanting to count slaves as persons.
Okay, so this is good news, because I actually have heard of this before. I just didn't know it was called like the Three-Fifths Compromise. So, mm-hmm. But I knew it had something about like you had so many slaves and people were trying to count them and use them as like leverage for like voting, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. If one guy has like 100 slaves and 100 and another guy has like 10, how does it make everything equal? Because it seems if it Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not by the particular owners. It's by the population of states. Just like in our, you know, that's how our House of Representatives is structured. A state with a larger population gets more representation in Congress.
Right. Right.
So they were trying to use that to boost their population numbers, even though you're treating these people like animals. But oh, now because it's going to give you power, they're they count as people.
Okay.
And some things never change.
So you would post a 2 minute hunk of audio, a hilarious look at the Three-Fifths Compromise.
Right. I'm not saying it necessarily would be comedy, but just right. These kind of gems that people don't know very much. Nowadays, particularly, it can be current events as well, because the media is skewing their reporting of current events more and more and more. And just rather than writing, as I consider myself much better in audio than in written form, it would be a 2 minute, 2-3 minute snippet of something that people might be interested in learning about.
I think it's a fantastic idea. I really think, you know what it is? You know what it is? It's like an audio book, but like bite-sized, right?
Exactly.
You should do this. You should do this. What's another one? We got the 3/5 compromise. People could like bust off a hunk of learning on that in a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. What's another one? What's another one? Let's think of another one. This is a good idea.
Well, gosh, the history of the KKK. They're linked to Democrats. The link to how many prominent Democrats well into the 20th century, prominent Democrat leaders were actually involved in the KKK. It's just kind of, it's almost myth-busting.
That would be fun. And you know what else we should do? If I could put this out there as an idea, I still think it was like a regular feature on this podcast, and I always thought it was very funny, but like I love like stupid state laws that are still on the books. Like some of these could be like actual like hunks of history. I know I was delighted when I found out about our failed experiment with the pilgrims.
Yes.
When it came to, hey, we're going to kind of be a giant commune. And then that failed. Yep. There's a story that most people don't know.
Bingo.
I was going to do a video about like the real story of Thanksgiving and all that. And that's just such an epic, epic thing that you kind of have to take that in bite-sized nuggets. But I think that's a wonderful idea. You know what you could do? You could record these on your telephone. You could record them, mm-hmm. I think, in notes. And here's a little tip. Here's a little tip for you. And this works like a charm. If you go into a room and you close the door and you put a blanket over your head, I'm not even kidding you. Put a big blanket over your head and just speak into your phone. You have your phone sitting on the bed. You're sitting cross-legged. It sounds the sound quality is amazing. The sound quality is amazing. I've done some voiceover work for friends of mine that have like made short films and funny things. And you feel like a true idiot when you're doing it, but it actually sounds great. You should do this.
That's really good to know, because usually when people instruct me to close the door and put a blanket over my head, that's going in a really different direction.
Well, you can do that too. That's not frowned upon here.
Just we are saying. Have like
a Dr. Ruth session here. What, I want you to close the door, go into bed, get comfy, put a blanket over your head, and imagine you're on a tropical island. So here's just a question, just out of left field. What are you listening to? What's the last song you downloaded? What are you jamming out to?
Ready for this?
I am. Well,
Welcome to the Jungle, Guns N' Roses.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. I had a Guns N' Roses. I'm sorry.
You're a GNR fan.
Yes, classic GNR.
Okay.
I jammed all the way home on my ride home from Boston last night to GNR, all the old school stuff.
That was a very good band back in the day. Yeah. I never really, they're just a little bit too polished. I didn't like the whole thing. I was really big into like the grunge and the ugliness and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. I tell you what, you get that Slash, you get that Duff McKagan dude and Axl back in the day. Those guys could jam. They could jam. They're, oh my God. Well, whatever. I'm getting completely sidetracked.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're young, you know, back in those days, I was, I think, 14, 15, 16. In your high school days, you have the radio stations that are always playing all the same music. And, you know, it starts to, the song starts to sound like a chunk of your life. You know, it's like a pure memory.
Yes, yes. And that's why, and you're great. You're like leading me into stand-up bits. I have this new hunk I'm working on, like, when you're going through a bad time, when you're going through a stressful, emotional time, you have to be very careful about the songs that you listen to, right? Because you will ruin a song forever.
So, it's so true.
Whenever life is handing you lemons and you're like, screw this, I am tired of making lemonade, just put on some music that you already hate.
Yeah, put some song that you already hate. That's right.
Put some music on.
Put on NPR. That'll do it too.
Exactly. Well, we don't want people to fall into comas. We don't want them to go into comas. Okay, so I like the audio, like the snippets, the historical, the weird, the whack. I think that's fun. I think that's completely fun, and I want you to start doing that like yesterday.
That's great.
Because it's interesting. It's interesting and it's different, and it's one of the things that I think makes the LoftusParty.com interesting and different. So let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go. I want to ask you this other question. How did you, were you raised to be kind of a right-leaning small government girl, or is this something that you discovered on your own in college, after college, whatevs?
It's a little bit of both, actually. I didn't know at the time that I was raised to be a right-leaning girl, particularly in Massachusetts. Everybody loves Kennedys. But the public school that I went to, the schools were really excellent back in the days when you had excellent public schools in a lot of places. And they were really heavy on the history and the social studies. And they were very heavy on patriotism. And so I did, I felt very fortunate about the U.S. history and world history education I got in high school as well as in college. At the same time, Rush Limbaugh is coming up in prominence. And I'm in the Morning was coming up, was becoming really, really huge, even though you wouldn't consider him to be right-leaning. But just in terms of like civics education and civics conversation that was entertaining, he was a big influence on me. And then it kind of, things kind of got bumpier in the country with the, you know, with the rise of President Obama and kind of the lurch leftward. And then I started getting, I really started just watching the Fox News. I became a big fan of Glenn Beck when he was on Fox News. He did a lot of that, those history type lessons that, that you and I were just talking about.
He really did. I found that to be very entertaining before he started. Before, it's like, it's weird. It's like he got to a level of popularity and I'm not sure what happened there, but it seems like he's returned to his classic form, but he used to do like cool stuff like that all the time.
Yes. Yeah, he did. And then the other thing that I attribute my, my political interest in conservatism too, is that we had some really, really amazing talk radio personalities here in Boston. One of them was Jay Severin. I don't know what he's ended up doing. He actually went to work for Glenn Beck for a while. And another one is Michael Graham, who is still around. He's very popular on Twitter. He writes for the Herald. He doesn't do any audio right now because he has a lot of writing work, but those two were huge, huge influences on me. And, you know, we only have like one station around here now for that kind of thing. They just don't.
Did you ever call into the program? Did you ever call in?
Oh, you betcha. Yeah.
Really? Did you actually get to say the phrase, first time caller, long time listener?
I think I did once. I do think I did that once. Yes.
Mega dittos, Rush. First time caller, long time listener. I love that stuff. I love that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Leslie from Boston, you're in the air.
Go ahead, Leslie from Boston. Hi. It's funny. Here's a funny little story about Glenn Beck and about history and about what's taught and what's not taught. Glenn Beck, I've been on the planet for a while now. That was the first dude. He was doing a show back when he had his Fox program. He was the first guy I ever heard of who criticized Franklin Roosevelt, right? Like in everything I'd ever learned about history, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's World War II and Franklin Roosevelt, this great hero, this wonderful dude. And Glenn Beck took an hour, not like ripping him down, but just like pointing out some of the not so good firsts in our government, you know? And wow, it is all how you look at it. And then, as fate would have it, 2 weeks ago, I was watching Life, Liberty, and Levin.
Levin,
Mark Levin, and he had on a buddy of mine does the best Mark Levin. I got to get him on the show. He does the best Mark Levin impression. You will howl with laughter. But he had on this historian that I guess now, and I it's like you could fill giant buckets of the crap I don't know. like FDR's big confidant when they were talking about what's going to happen after World War II. One of his big expert on Russia and what should happen. They think that dude was like legit a foreign agent of Russia.
Wild.
Completely wild. And no one even talks about it. No one brings it up because all these generals and all these other advisors to FDR flipping out. They're like, you can't just let Russia have all this of Europe. You know, Russia's just, they're just taking it. And FDR was getting advice from this dude like, hey, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And it turns out they're pretty sure this guy was a legit Russian agent.
Probably a friend of the Clintons.
Probably Bill Clinton's great grandfather. And then another one that comes up is like Ted Kennedy and his dealings with the KGB and stuff.
Oh yeah,
the Reagan years. Like this
that
is like straight up like treasonous. Yeah, it is really mind boggling, and it's what I dig history too. I really like the idea of the like the 2-3 minute audio. You know, nuggets of history and fun to know facts and things that you never hear anywhere else. But that kind of like the whole Ted Kennedy, that's when it really amazes you, just like the power that the media has. Like here you've got like FDR who just like, you know what? I'm not going to do 2 terms. I'm going to do 3 terms. And I'm going to keep these people in concentration camps. And if you find, you know, turn in your neighbor if you hear him saying anything weird. It's just bizarre. It's bizarre, and it makes me frightened for the future. It makes me frightened for the future because they're definitely doing it now. The media is definitely doing it now with their
right, and they're painting the president. I have my disagreements with the President Trump, but they're painting him as a person that's terrifying on that kind of level.
Yeah,
and in reality, he's shrinking the power of government.
Indeed,
but
was Trump
going to tell you that?
Was Trump your guy going into 2016?
Absolutely not.
Same. There's so many of us. There's so many of us.
You know who I voted for? Did I tell you this last week?
No, you did not.
I had a write-in candidate, Ronald Reagan, zombie, and the undercard, Sweet Meteor of Death.
Sweet Meteor of Death. I remember that. I remember
that was my president and vice president. I have a picture of my ballot to prove it.
That's fantastic. That's against federal law. I'm going to turn you in now.
Not afraid.
Okay.
So if they haven't picked me up for the subversion that I do on social media, I'm not worried about my ballot.
There you go. I want to touch on this very quickly because our interview last week, we touched on it, and I think it's worthy of discussing again while we have a minute left here. This new thing going on in Massachusetts and where you go see your doctor and then your doctor asks you if you're a gun owner?
Yes, I'm furious.
Yeah. That is infuriating. Why would they need that information? How did they get that through?
What I learned is that it is actually a common practice in many, many areas of the country, but it's not codified into law, as far as I know, anywhere else in the country. The reason that it was big news here and big news to me is that it was the city of Boston trying to actually mandate the questioning by the physicians. So now the physicians are, you know, on the statute, that they're mandated to ask that question. And that's where it's over the line to me. It's terrifying.
Now, what happens if you don't answer?
I don't know specifically. I'm sure for now you can choose not to answer, but it's a very, very slippery slope to me that maybe the insurance company will say that if a non-answer means yes, and now you're a higher risk patient, and now we're going to decline coverage or bump up your insurance premiums. There's just so many ways that this could really go left. No pun intended.
I wonder if they just ask you this once or if they ask you every time you go in. It'd be hilarious if they had to ask you every time because my answer would change every week. Like the doctors be like, do you have guns? And I'd be like, oh yeah, yeah. Well, how many? I got probably 8,000 guns. And then I come in next week to get my prescription filled. Hey, do you have any guns? Not anymore. What? He's a Chinese guy. Gave them all to him. He said he's doing something with them. Only have 4 left. I have the anti-aircraft. I have the RPG.
The grenade launcher.
The grenade. Oh yeah, you need that. And the Gatling gun signed
Gatling,
by Ulysses S. Grant. Okay, Leslie, thank you so much. Thanks for being a trooper as we figure out our interview systems. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about the audio history, the audio fact. I think that's great, and I want you to start immediately. I want you to go to your bedroom, close the door, get under the blanket, and start.
And start talking.
And don't forget. You know what? And don't forget to post. I think you posted like a video. You're like, hey, I'm here, and you posted something from YouTube. That stuff's great too. Here's my problem. I'll always like, man, I'll hear a song or like, oh, that's a great tune. I should just post the video on the website. I'm going to start doing that more. I encourage everybody to do that more. Like, here's a song that just like lifts my spirits. That like just gets me moving. We should do that more. So don't be afraid to do that as well. You guys, I thank you, Leslie, and I'll wrap up with this. And I just want to say this to everybody who listens. Don't think you have to write some big, giant manifesto and do mountains of research and blah, 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 blah. Have a good time with this. If you have something like Leslie, you're into this, the historical aspect. So that's great. That's your jam. Go for it. If other people have other things and that's your jam, just go for it. We're here to have a good time. I heard this quote last week, and I really, really think it's true. The party, or whoever's having the most fun, is going to win. Whoever's having the most fun is going to win. And so let's do that. Don't think you have to pour over the internet and know what, John Wilkes Booth had for breakfast on February 9th. Just have a good time. Leslie.
Absolutely.
L.A. Dowd. Is that your Twitter handle?
Yes.
There you go. Give her a follow. Look for her stuff at theloftusparty.com. We're going to have more fun, and we're going to win. Leslie, thank you so much. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you, Michael. This is very exciting.
I know. I think that's a great idea. The more I think about that, the little audio nuggets of history and fun to know facts and weirdness. That's all good. I like it. So more goodness coming to loftusparty.com. Thank you, Leslie, for hanging out and doing that. It was our second attempt. We're getting better. We're getting better.
Right.
I still think about poor Michael Knowles.
I know.
What a trooper. Okay. Yeah. So I want to get into this really quick. There's two things I want to get into. I don't want to forget. Number one is the Roger Stone and the raid on his house, and then number two is Cheryl Atkinson's amazing thread about media mistakes. So we'll spend a little time talking Roger Stone and just how amazingly ridiculous that was. That was crazy. That they had like the SWAT team out there, all those vehicles, all those like special forces. For Roger Stone, because
dangerous man,
right? Like they gave him the full El Chapo treatment because they thought he was gonna like pop out of the second floor window dressed up in a Deadpool costume, guns ablazing. It was completely ridiculous, and it really. I have to try to laugh at it because if you look at it seriously, it's total Gestapo tactics. And the fact that they tipped off CNN and had cameras, hey, you guys set up and get your shot over here. It's gross. At the very least, it's gross and disgusting. At the very worst, it's Gestapo. It's total Nazi.
It's especially gross and disgusting when Hillary Clinton's house was never raided at any time of the day. To collect her electronic equipment and image her servers and her machine. She actually got to pick the evidence that she wanted to submit. When you look at Manafort was raided early in the morning. Cohen's office was raided early in the morning. Stone was arrested in an early morning raid. You have Brennan, you have Koskinen, you have McCabe, I could do a list as long as my arm of Democrats who have been accused of the same type of process crimes, either lying to law enforcement, including Clinton herself, or lying to Congress, that never even got indicted, never even were presented. I mean, the Inspector General recommended charges against Andrew McCabe. It has still never gone in front of a grand jury.
It is. It's becoming painfully obvious. Like Huma Abedin and all the emails that she had. And I think that was the NYPD. I think that was the NYPD that served a search warrant. I think it had something to do with what Wiener was sending out.
And then they found emails that Clinton didn't submit on Wiener's computer because the email was going to both places or something. Yeah, it was the Southern District of New York FBI office, but
it's just such a double standard. It's just I feel like I'm
wearing a tinfoil hat, but if you just look at it on its face, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's how it is, and that's what the thing that like constantly surprises me. That like constantly just by the nature of, you know, you and I do this show, and I do videos on YouTube and the Loftus Party, so you kind of, you know, we're keeping track so that we can be well versed, and so when, you know, Fox and Friends calls me up, I can go, oh yeah, I can speak to that because I'm kind of aware. And when you have a little bit of awareness, like I'm not, like you're a policy wonk, you know way more than I do. I'm kind of like a casual observer. But when you're like casually observing this stuff and you're like, I'm seeing a disturbing pattern. Democrats never get in trouble. They just never get in trouble. And they send SWAT after Republicans. That's just it.
Tony Podesta and Paul Manafort did exactly the same thing. Then they tried to do exactly the same fix. Manafort's in jail, solitary confinement at that, and Podesta's still walking around.
Yup.
I mean, that one is just so glaring. But here's the other thing. And this is just killing me. Roger Stone got arrested. Here's our Russian collusion. No, guys. Roger Stone getting arrested and the indictment, because I read it, right, is actually the best argument that there was no collusion between the Trump campaign and anybody in Russia, because Roger Stone's running around hitting up journalists to find out what they know about what Assange has. He wouldn't have been doing that if there was some kind of crazy collusion, because the Trump campaign would have already known what they had.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, what?
But the media has to run with this narrative to bake in this belief. Bake in this belief to the people who aren't into politics casually, right? It's the person who's just kind of chugging along through their everyday life, but every time they turn around, they hear something else about, oh, now it's really bad. It's a wonderful transition to a friend of the show, Cheryl Atkison. She put together a wonderful thread, and you can see it on her website, CherylAtkison.com. She spells it CHARYLATTKISSON, CherylAtkison.com. And the title of her story is 69 Media Mistakes in the Trump Era. So this is the list so far. How long has Trump been president? A little over 2 years?
A little over 2 years, yeah. A couple days over 2 years since he was sworn in.
This is 69 mistakes so far. So how many times do you let it go when it's not a mistake anymore? It's on purpose. It's repeated because it is about a narrative. It's fantastic. You just go down the list where it's, you know, it starts with, oh my gosh, he moved the bust of, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. And then it just goes on and on. They implied that the New York Times said Trump didn't pay taxes for 18 years, but then they showed he actually did. And he paid a higher rate than Bernie Sanders or Obama. And Melania Trump, she came from Slovenia in the 90s, and she got the special. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. So you have to ask yourself, as a person who listens to this podcast and wants to be kind of in the loop and kind of have a good time, like 69 of these. These are from major, it's from CNN, it's the Washington Post, it's the New York Times, it's, you know, BuzzFeed, but like big, big outlets. And it, you can't just, you can't chalk this up to, well, sometimes in journalism you get the story wrong, and we try to run corrections. It's horrible, it's gross, and it just lends credence to, like, hey, yeah, fake news is the enemy of the people. And here's the other one, though. Here's the good news about all this. Is, I think it's the UK Telegraph. Did you hear about their apology to Melania?
I did. I read it.
It was fantastic. It was fantastic. They apologized for everything. But that must have been some kind of hit piece they ran, because you look at that, like, everything, you know, we have been asked to make clear that the article contained a number of false statements which we accept should not have been published. Mrs. Trump's father was not a fearsome presence and did not control the family. Mrs. Trump did not leave her design and architecture course at university relating to the completion of an exam. Mrs. Trump did not like, they must have been really slinging some dirt. So they had to print this giant, giant retraction that ends with, "We apologize unreservedly to the First Lady and her family for any embarrassment caused by our publication of these allegations. As a mark of our regret, we have agreed to pay Mrs. Trump substantial damages as well as her legal costs." So, kaboosh. Kaboosh. I loved it. And that's, and like, listen, and it always bears repeating, you know, it's like, yes, we love legal immigration, and yes, we love the free press. However, I gotta put a little caveat on it. You can't just repeatedly lie knowingly with no retribution. Like 69 so far. The guy's been in office a little over 2 years. These aren't mistakes anymore. These aren't like the oh shucks. This is they're literally it's a smear campaign. I don't know how else you put it. And I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed for real journalists like Cheryl Atkinson.
Yep. And I actually think what happened last week with those kids from Covington Catholic is almost, it's going to be fundamentals to sort of the changing of the guard, because you had people like Andy Ngo and Tim Pool and Sarah Carter and Robbie Sove from Reason Magazine. They were the first ones out that saying, this story doesn't hold water. This story doesn't hold water because we actually went back and did our homework. And then you had a bunch of other citizen journalists looking into Philip's military record. And I mean, he literally committed stolen valor.
Yeah.
Not cool. And this was your primary source? Oh, not yeah. only that, he accused kids at this college and this college and this place, and then he busted into a Catholic church. Who's the bigot?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
And then overlooked in all of this. Like, it's just such an avalanche of horse manure that overlooked in all of this. And somebody tweeted it out the other day, and I can't remember who, but it's like, then you compare this poor kid in the Make America Great Again hat. Let's compare him to the way he was treated to the way David Hogg was treated.
Oh, yeah.
David Hogg. Oh, you can't go after a kid. He's just a kid who just wants to exercise his voice. Mm-hmm. We should applaud him for wanting to be vocal in these crazy times. Let's lift him up and celebrate the glorious being that is David Hogg. And then meanwhile, this poor kid is like, Bill Maher, that misguided doofus.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was really bad and really misguided. And I know what he's trying to do, and he's trying to be relevant, and he's trying to be edgy. But, like, really, a series of bad jokes, bad intentions, just horrible.
You know, the guy who makes his living being a prick, calling other people pricks, is pretty just outrageous in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to say this just as an aside, because I do, because you always have to do that that preamble of, you know, you have to say things like the majority of FBI agents are really good officers and blah 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 blah, and I'm getting tired of that, and then, you know, you have to say that little preamble about, yes, and we need the free press for blah 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 blah, and then you have to say the thing about, we all like legal immigration. We do this thing on in the Deplorable Show where we collect questions from the audience. Oh man, oh man. So in the second act of the show, I answer some of them, and it's funny and it's comedic. But there was this girl from India, and I forget her name. I think I have the card laying around here somewhere. But she's like, I am a legal immigrant to the United States. I filled out paperwork and waited for years. Mm-hmm. And she was upset at all the benefits that the illegals get. However, when I said, and I'm not trying to be silly or anything, she goes, my name is, I'm going to say, Sandra Kapoor, whatever. Mm-hmm. I am a legal immigrant of the United States. That's as far as I got. Mm-hmm. When there was a thunderous ovation. It was mm-hmm. beautiful. I got misty-eyed. The place went crazy. This right. girl, she had to feel good. Like, I didn't even get the whole question. It was like faith in humanity restored. It was glorious. So that's my little side note on that. I'm sorry for interrupting. You were in the middle of something very important, and then I did my little feel-good story.
Oh no, that's fine. I think that whole situation, including Bill Maher and everyone else who, once the narrative decided, you know, started to fall apart, decided to double down and look for other stuff, like kids making a three-point symbol in basketball. Ooh, look, there's the white supremacy sign. Mm-hmm. No, here's every NBA star doing it. Oh, look, they're in blackface. No, that's a blackout game. Have you ever gone, you ever been involved with basketball? You know, the doubling down, and then, oh, Kirsten Powers, I'm taking the Twitter app off my phone because I was the subject of a coordinated harassment attack. No, Kirsten, no. The only people that were subjected to a coordinated attack were those boys and their families, their community, and their school.
Kirsten Powers, she's like the former Bush girl who's over at MSNBC now, right? Is that her?
I think she's on CNN, but she actually wrote a book called The Silencing.
Yeah.
During the Obama administration, and Trump yeah. has just destroyed her. Destroyed her.
I don't want to give away, like, the special sauce, but the wonderful thing when your head hits the pillow at night is you always know that the Democrats will they'll go too far. They'll go too far. They always overreach, which is wonderful, which is what they're doing on border security. And, you know, I'm getting off Twitter and I got to make fun of this guy and we got to rail the Covington kids. It's, and if you think about the sheer weight of the smear that's going on with journalists and how they're trying to bake all this in, thank goodness for, like, citizen journalists, and thank goodness for Twitter and whoever's left, and thank goodness for Facebook and people talking to one another and all that great stuff, because it really does, it gives one hope. It gives one hope. And this goes back to the border wall and the government shutdown. Just like, I'm glad that Trump has just, like, peeled this down to one single issue. It's one issue. And I hate it when, like, you know, and he brought it up, like the whole DACA thing. Like, no, don't muddy the water. Don't muddy the water. Let's not talk about DACA. Let's not talk about any of that crap. You either want to secure the borders or you don't. You either want to secure them or you don't. You either want to stop the drugs or you don't. You either want to stop the human trafficking or you don't. Just keep it right there. Keep it right there. Okay. We are in the home stretch here. It was a fun, weird show. I want to spend a moment, and I want to celebrate another Kristen. I want to celebrate Kirsten Sinema from Arizona.
What did she do?
Did you see the outfit she wore the other day?
Oh, was that the one with the boots? That was her? I thought that was Gillibrand.
No.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's Kristen Sinema, your first openly bisexual representative. What is she, a senator?
Yeah, in thigh boots.
And a short skirt.
Wow.
I gotta tell you, listen.
You know what? I'm not seriously gonna have a problem with somebody in public life dressing in an edgy fashion that looks good. That didn't look good.
I gotta tell you,
it's not stylish.
That was my beef with it too. Like, I loved the boots. I'm like, those boots are fantastic, but not with that skirt.
They don't go with that dress at all. That was my thought. How sad is that?
There's people on Twitter and Facebook and like, she looks like a whore. She looks like a stripper. And I'm like, I don't know what clubs you guys are going to.
You could do something like that. Yeah. Just not that. It didn't look good.
Yeah. And I don't want to get
stylish.
And I totally don't want to get fuddy duddy about it. Like, how dare she? But like, there is a part of me that's like, come on, you know, be cool. Be cool. It's the Senate. You know, it's like, but those boots, I gotta.
Kristen's and Kirsten's, it looks like Kirsten Gillibrand's doppelganger is considering a third run.
Oh.
Hillary.
Oh, she's really considering it?
Oh, yeah, breaking today. I mean, I watched the most painful segment of video from one of Kirsten Gillibrand's town halls that I have ever seen. Rick, I should have had you cut the audio. But oh my god, scripted hand gestures. Her presentation was like all off. Her pauses were pregnant. I'm like, oh my god, she's worse than Hillary.
Yeah, I'm gonna grab me a beer. Oh, there's my husband. All that fake robotic. I'm just like you. It's going to be wonderful. I can't wait till more people get in. I can't wait to see the debates. I can't wait to see how big the field of Democrats get. You guys, it's going to be it's just going to keep getting better and better and better.
Yeah,
next week,
have so much fun.
Next week is going to be a little bit of a challenge, but we're going to figure that out off the show. We'll do that on our own time and not on your time. But it looks like I'm heading to Mar-a-Lago next week, which should be a whole story unto itself. I cannot wait. I want to do a broadcast from Mar-a-Lago. But right now, yeah, it's like 99%. It's like 99% that I will be in Mar-a-Lago.
Okay. So you next can week. Dial in Sunday and go live from Mar-a-Lago.
Right?
That'd be great.
I cannot wait.
I know you're doing a video post from there. You have to.
Oh, and you know it. And you know it. I want to thank everyone who listens to the podcast and make sure. Here's the deal. We busted through the algorithm. Now I'm absolutely sure of it. Our YouTube numbers are fantastic. So thanks for sharing the videos. The Facebook numbers are fantastic. Thanks for sharing the posts. Thanks for telling your friends. Go to deplorableshow.com. Go to theloftusparty.com. Just post a link to a song you like on YouTube. Let's get funky. Let's get weird. Let's get freaky. Let's wear some Kristen boots and dance in our undies. I'll see you next week.